Maybe these days it is. I haven't been as involved as of late, but I actually was very interested in. I was kind of a Mac geek, so I grew up in the 80s, and 70s and 80s, and was fortunate enough to have one of the early Macs, and was very interested in that, and so grew up in Orinda and Berkeley here in the East Bay of San Francisco area. And actually, in high school, was a computer consultant. So I'd walk around with a little briefcase and teach people Mac.
You were one of those guys.
I was a complete geek, fully admit it.
People are aware of Michael Dell and how, like, as a kid, he would. But really, there's a cadre of people, and probably many of the people in the business today, were in high school
doing, like, consulting,
had businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents, Joe, they said this years later. I never thought this, but they were legitimate, from their perspective, really concerned that I, you know, might not go to Pitzer because I was enjoying this consulting thing and charging a pretty good amount of money for a kid. And so anyway, I went to Pitzer, did the political science thing, graduated in 1992. For those who remember, that was somewhat of a recession time, and so got an offer from a company that I had done consulting with. You might remember this company. It's a company called Lapis Technology. So it was in the days of Super Mac, Radius, all the guys making video cards.
Yeah.
And Lapis's niche was programmable video cards for the Mac, meaning program different resolutions.
Wow.
And that was unheard of on the Mac side because everything was hard-coded by Apple standards. So I went to work with them. We were out of Berkeley and Alameda. They got bought by a company in Boston.
It was such a vibrant ecosystem in those days around the Mac.
Oh, it was incredible.
I had a Radius display. It was giant. It was giant for the time, which was probably 21 inches.
Yeah,
it felt really, really.
And the one you could
it
twist.
Was pro. It was you could twist it. It would go into a portrait mode, and it was hideously expensive. I remember that very well.
Oh, but I feel like it was $2,000.
Yeah, it was horrible. Like it was as much as the Mac, probably.
Yeah. So I worked for them, and then they got bought by a company in Boston, and I wanted to stay in the Bay Area, and so I decided not to. They gave me an offer, but I decided not to go there, and fortuitously went to a Mac World and met some people I had been working with at Apple, and they said, you ought to come in and check out this Newton thing.
Wow.
And I got very lucky and ended up there and spent about 3 years there and loved it. I mean, I really, I learned a tremendous amount and some of the smartest people I've ever worked with.
One of the cool things about the Newton is it didn't use rechargeables. It used regular batteries.
Yes.
And so I just put regular batteries in my Newton, and my contacts are still here. Everything's still partly because I spent a lot of money on a 2 megabyte memory card.
You probably spent, I'm guessing, what were those, $400 or $500?
Yeah, hundreds. 2 megabytes. That's a floppy disk worth of data.
It's crazy.
But I don't remember what the internal memory was, but that's probably
it's about 1.5 photos today on the,
yeah,
on
exactly,
the iPhone.
Exactly. So probably the reason I have this is because my contacts is because they're stored on this non-volatile memory. I have very fond memories of the Newton. It was pretty innovative for its time. The UI, everything about it was unique.
Oh no, it was very innovative. The UI, the ability to draw. I mean, it sounds so funny now, but the ability to just draw something and then, like we were joking around, fax it to somebody was pretty amazing.
Right.
And for those looking at all these smartphones today, it doesn't seem that revolutionary, but it really was at the time, and it was one of the first, if not first, device where you didn't need a mouse and you were just using the stylus and pointing around. And even the contacts, when I look at it, the simplicity of that contact card—it's
very—it's great. And you can
compared to today, I actually think there's a lot of validity to the simplicity.
I feel like I could change the card style, so.
Yeah,
it has some. I think this is the origin of skeuomorphic design for Apple, of trying to make, and you needed to do it with something like this because you needed to make this intuitive, and there was nothing that came before. So as a result, you kind of think about, well, how can I make this work the way people would expect it to work, even though they've never tried this before? Oh, here's my resume.
There's your resume, Petaluma.
Oh my gosh! I need to.
Fantastic.
Can I print this out somehow? I don't know.
We had printing. There is a print button there.
Oh my gosh! That's my resume. By the way, don't visit that address or call that number. I think those are long gone.
Still Petaluma.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah. It was.
And even just as you scrolled, that's pretty fast scrolling.
Yeah, considering what's going on here.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
we used the ARM processor. ARM became, you know, quite successful.
In fact, Apple co-founded ARM to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, ARM started because of the Newton. Or maybe they were started already, but the Newton was one of the first commercial successes of it.
I think the Newton was the genesis of Apple's investment in ARM.
Yeah.
Because they needed a different processor, a mobile processor that would work, with good battery life and give you some decent power.
Yep.